And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I'm talking about Alabama. That's right. We broadcast way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right. Hey, I got to turn to the text line just for a minute. Chris from Gadsden texts in. He goes, hey, I guess I was going to ask why y'all are working on Good Friday, but then I remember that Jesus accomplished a lot of work on Good Friday. Yes, indeed, he did. What else I got here? Leanne from Huntsville says, for the Easter Bunny for my child, I used to pull little pieces of cotton, spread them out in the living room. He thought it was the Easter Bunny's fur. Well, I mean, he's either shedding or the cat got hold of him, one or the other. Gray Falcon from Ardmore texted in. He goes, we had an Easter egg that got left up in the top of a lamp for about 6 months before we found it because the lamp was turned on and the smell it created. That's too funny. What else we got here? Just to wrap some of this up. JT from Lacey Springs, he says, a myriad of sunrises, but only one sun, S-O-N, rise. Yes, indeed. I like that pun. Did I have one more? Hang on 1 second. So John from Huntsville texted in, says that since he's a kid, he's always watched the last round of the Masters as part of Easter. Loves that green jacket. And then he also says, where'd he go? He says, hey, Boomer, you and Phil should put a right side coin in one of those plastic eggs and hide it somewhere near the studio.
Oh, well, you know, maybe not a studio. Maybe I just hide it somewhere in Alabama.
Somewhere?
And then I put in clues, Alabama. Clues online on our website. There we go. Just one more thing for us to do, right?
Yeah, we don't have anything else going on. we'll stick it in the middle of a maple bacon donut.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Hey, listen, State House Roundup. So some things are going on down yonder in Montgomery. The legislature is in the regular session. And the way this works, by the way, in case you hadn't seen the process, is when they go into regular session, they typically go in roughly 3 days a week. And we call it going in. There's 2 days you're actually in session, and then 1 day that's there for all the committee meetings. So by law, by constitution, the legislature has to convene once a year for the regular session. And it's when they can do all the people's business. But they, by law, constitutionally speaking, their only requirement is to pass the budgets. So technically, they could come in, pass the budgets, go home. But they don't. There's all kinds of other things they got to do. They got to figure out whether we can text and drive. Got to do things like either raise or lower taxes, you know, whatever. All that stuff has to be done during the regular session. And then the regular session can only last, oh my gosh, I got to think how this works. I think it's 35 days in a 105-day span. So 105 days on the calendar to accomplish 35 days of legislative session, I believe are the numbers. And the way they do that is they go into the chamber 2 days a week. Each of those days counts. And then the middle day, Wednesday, is filled up with all the committee meetings trying to get bills ready to go to the floor or to, you know, can them. And it's kind of funny because every once in a while you'll have they'll do something like the only way to make it fit is they got to do what's called burning a day, where they go in for a third day of the week, but they have to do it on a Wednesday. And because they've already done committees, they can't do the full day. So they might have to go in for one special bill that's very important and spend 2 hours in the chamber. But by doing that, by having convened it all in the chamber, they have now burned a day. And also, here's a funny story. This is one of those Goat Hill things. Goat Hill is the nickname for the Capitol Hill in Montgomery. But one of those things that also happens is if you're in the chamber and you're in the middle of deliberations and you know you've got to finish this, you can't not finish it now because you might lose the momentum or you might lose some votes or whatever else. If it gets to midnight at 12:01, you're technically burning another day. So it's not like because you're in, you're just in for a day. You're in and it's by the clock. So the old school stuff that used to happen down there that can't happen anymore because we keep digital timing and all that now is they used to actually unplug the clock. I kid you not. And more than once, people would tell stories about the Speaker of the House reaching up and just twisting the knob and dialing the clock back a little bit just to give them more time because that was the official timekeeping piece of the chamber. Didn't matter what anybody's watch said. It was before they had cell phones, you know, getting your time off the towers. It was basically that clock. And what that clock said, that was the gospel. If that clock happened to become unplugged for 5 extra minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, it just, you know, just happened. All right, things that are going on down there right now. One bill that I'm sure we'll be talking about later is State Representative Susan DeBose. She's brand new, very conservative, out of Hoover. State Rep DeBose introduced legislation this week to prevent transgender college athletes from competing in sports not designated for their biological sex. Okay, story on 1819 News about this one. It's interesting. She dropped that bill in. I think she dropped it in yesterday. And the same day she dropped it in, boom, the Biden administration decided to issue its new policy guidance on how the federal government will go forward in interpreting Title IX. I kid you not. I'll have a whole segment later in the show about this. But Title IX will now be including transgender participation in sports. And, oh, by the way, prohibiting states from enacting laws like this one. Like, how's the federal government seizing that moment? Well, what they're trying to do is preempt state law. They're trying to get in a place where Title IX is now this, except they didn't do it that way. The legislature didn't pass this. The Congress. Congress didn't pass that law. That was Biden getting out there on his own once again and doing it by executive fiat through a regulatory agency. It is now being interpreted that transgender participation is required to be allowed. Anyway, Alabama law currently prohibits K through 12, you know, transgender participation in sports of the sex they were not biologically assigned at birth. But House Bill 261 by Susan DeBose would now include all 2- and 4-year institutions of higher education. All of them. Not just state-sponsored, but all of them, I understand. And by the way, she got 39 co-sponsors in the House. She's got 39 co-sponsors. That means she's got roughly 40% of the House just as her sponsors. So we'll see where it goes. But right now, Alabama is once again leading the way. By the way, you may want to know, too, in January 2022, the NCAA was developing its own rules about transgender participation, and they took the cop-out approach. We'll leave that to the governing body of each sport. Really? That's what you're going to do? You're the parent organization. You could set a standard across the board, but no. The updated NCAA policy calls for transgender student-athlete participation for each sport to be determined by the policy for the national governing body of that sport, meaning they didn't want to handle it, and they deflected. Yeah. Just, yeah. What else we got down yonder in the State House? Big doings, y'all. So you hear me talking about grocery tax a lot? Used to get so frustrating. I would see a grocery tax repeal bill coming. Hey, what's that going to be? Is that going to be good? No, because they always wanted to do it by raising taxes on somebody else in order to offset the losses from getting rid of a tax that we shouldn't even have. You may recall, I'll tell you again just in case, Alabama is one of only, I think now it's down to around 10 or 11 states that tax groceries at all. At all. And of those 10 or 11 states that still remain in the taxing category, only 3 of them tax at the highest possible allowed rate. Alabama is one of those 3. 4% of every dollar you spend is a state tax on your milk and bread and eggs. So we've been harping on this for a while. When I was at the Alabama Policy Institute, we were harping on it big time. Well, Senator Arthur Orr, who I need to get on the show here pretty soon, Senator Arthur Orr is one of the leadership of the Senate. He is also the budget chairman for the Education Budget Committee. And Representative Danny Garrett is the House chairman of the Education Budget Committee. And the two of them have dropped in a bill to repeal the 4% state sales tax. So you've got both the budget chairman owning the floor on this one. Because I'll be honest with you, the budget chairman, that's a pretty powerful position in Montgomery. If you're a budget chair and someone wants to bring a bill that will affect your budget, they can pretty effectively have it quashed if they don't want it. So for a budget chair to carry the bill seems to indicate that for once it finally has some momentum. The way the bill works right now, it would phase it out over the next few years. So it's a 4% sales tax on groceries, right? But what they're looking at doing now is repealing that the first 1% like this year, and then every other year for the next few years, they would repeal the next 1% and sort of phase it out. It also, by the way, it says in the legislation that it would be it would prohibit any new local and county taxes on groceries. They're also defining what food is, because what they're not going to do apparently is have to do this with every soft drink you buy at a gas station. This is going to be the things that are considered staples that are already included in Alabama law under the WIC program, the Women and Infants and Children's Nutritional Program. So it's going to be things like main staples, true groceries. It's not going to be that candy bar and Coke you bought. Those are still going to have a tax rate on it. So we'll see where it goes, but I'll be watching that one close, and I'm loving the fact that the budget chairs are the ones who are carrying it. All right, tell you what, Boom, go ahead and take us to a break. We'll do that right now. We will come back from this break, work through a few more things that are happening on your behalf right now in your state capital, and then top of the hour, Stephanie Smith from Alabama Policy Institute will be here to discourse a little more. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Bill Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. I got more here than we got time for, Boomer. I'm beginning to question three dippers. it's already a question mark. Hey, we're talking about the State House Roundup, things that are happening on yours and mine's behalf down yonder on Goat Hill in Montgomery. So the state legislature is in session right now. A number of bills I've already talked about. Here's another one. There's a bill right now that would actually cut occupational taxes in some Alabama cities. I think it's got an uphill climb. I only say that because I'm hearing that. I would love to see this bill pass. State Representative Andrew Jones, who actually took my place in the Senate when I decided not to run again. Jones is the one who won the open seat election for my house, my Senate seat, Senate District 10. But Jones has got a bill right now that would stop occupational taxing. If you're not familiar, depending upon where you live in the state, there's 25 cities that currently have a tax just for being allowed to work. How does that work, pray tell? Well, you know, if you're going to be allowed to work here, we got to get a little piece of that. That's what's happening. But don't we already pay income taxes? Yeah, but you know, city doesn't get to collect that. Exactly. It's not by law allowed for you to have an income tax. It's not an income tax. It's an occupational tax. Pray tell, why would that be? Well, you know, we got things we got to pay for, you know, like trash and streets and all that. So does everybody else, but why are you one of the only cities having it? You can imagine the arguments. This would repeal the occupational taxes, repeal them over time, over a long period of time, by the way. It wouldn't be immediate. You wouldn't feel much of a difference in your paycheck, but some of the cities are already crying. Because, you know, oh, you're going to take away our money. We're not going to be able to build that new splash pad for the kids or something. Paving streets or something. Repainting the mayor's office, something. But anyway, so Senate Bill 65 has 13 Republican co-sponsors in the Senate. I think, and I got to look back and see now, I think it actually just passed the Senate, which is good. But Andrew Jones himself was on the show just a couple weeks ago talking about this, Senator Jones. And he said he thought, sure, he'd get it out of the Senate, that the real issue was going to be in the House. And I agree. Apparently, he does not have a companion bill, meaning like an identical bill running in the House already. So that means he's got more of an uphill climb. So we'll see where it goes. But right now, there is actually some motion being made to start doing away with ridiculous things like occupational taxes. Here's another one that's a good one. The state Senate just passed security legislation. I mentioned this briefly earlier in the week. So, Senator Clyde Chambliss of Prattville, he ran a bill on behalf of the Secretary of State's office, Wes Allen, Secretary Wes Allen. And these two bills are designed to promote election integrity. The first one says we will use paper ballots only in Alabama. I like that. You can see it. It has to be a paper ballot. You can get them out and recount them if you have to. Paper ballot. Hard to forge. Paper ballot. But then the other thing is no voting counting machine, because, you know, you can slide that paper ballot into the machine anyway, and it's gonna scan it. And no paper ballot counting machine can be allowed to have any modem technology or a connection to the internet, period. Has to have an air gap. You can't have the possibility that in the dark of night, someone's going to hack the machine, supply a few extra votes, or take away a few votes. And so, yeah, that's very cool. That one's passed now, goes now to the House. We'll see what happens, but I suspect it's going to pass because it's a good bill. It's not hard to imagine why it's a good bill. But I'll tell you, too, the other thing is it's being carried on behalf of Secretary of State Wes Allen, who was last year a member of the House. So basically his former colleagues are now watching his bill come their way, and I think it's going to work. What else have I got here? Oh, here's one that – well, let's see. Which one do I want? I got a stack of stuff, man. Well, I'll tell you what. First of all, especially all you lawyers out there in ruffian land, there's a new bill – The courts are backlogged. I totally get it. The courts are backlogged. There has long been an effort to try and revise the way we have judgeships set up around the state. There's got to be a population-based formula, and there is. But there are those who still don't like the formula, like State Senator Roger Smitherman of Birmingham. Smitherman, whose wife, by the way, is a circuit court judge, does not like the idea that we're going to be looking at sometime in the near future. Jefferson County might wind up losing a judge because they have more than they need, whereas some districts have not enough and they've got a backlog of legal action. I mean, it's tough, man, especially the district courts where you have small claims and divorce actions and all that. Lord, I mean, they could have like 800 cases pending at a time or more. So yeah, that bill right now is being floated. House Bill 153 would put a few new judges in place. It's already facing opposition and the warning that it may not get the airtime that it needs. Here's something, though, that I'm curious about. So a story broke yesterday. Remember that whole thing about Birmingham Southern, the college, saying it's about to go bankrupt, doesn't know what to do? We spent all our money building a green energy-compliant dorm in a special pond. Yeah, well, guess what? Now you don't have enough money and you want the public to bail you out. Well, Alabama House Speaker Nathaniel Ledbetter said just yesterday that he has had doubts about any bailouts for Birmingham Southern, but that there's a new discussion happening about whether the state could loan them the money. If you do, I hope you loan it with interest, but I don't know about this. I find this to be something that is just not necessarily good precedent. Who else is going to belly up for a loan from the state at that point? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I look at that and think, I don't want to see Birmingham Southern just go away and become a blighted set of beautiful buildings, lose all that history and everything else. But you know what? They made some horrible decisions. So go you therefore, you know, go raise the money if you have to. And they are. They're working on it. But a $30 million loan, if they're already insolvent, what are we going to do to guarantee they're going to pay it back? And Nathaniel Ledbetter, the Speaker Ledbetter, did say he imagines, though, that the collateralization of the loan would mean that if we loaned them $30 million, that the state would get their facilities. But then does the state want their facilities? I mean, do we want to take on that burden? I mean, do we want to suddenly have to mow that grass on Birmingham Southern's campus that we never had to mow with state employees? It's a thing, man. We got more. Not that I'm going to get to all of it because we're about to take a break. When we come right back from this break, we'll be on the air with Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute. She'll give us her version of a few things happening yonder in Montgomery. Y'all stay tuned. Right Side Radio. We will be right back.